You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
Worship from us because he is God. Thank you for this song, Brother Vlad. I remember it very well from my university days. The song leader in Brother Marisa's church loved this song. It was every time he starts leading songs, you are Alpha and Omega. And after so many years, I think that we can all come to the same conclusion. God is Alpha, he is Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord bless you again this morning. There's a bit of an echo here. I don't know if the engineers could help me. I would like to invite you again to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We will be speaking again about Paul the Apostle, some of the teachings in his life that we could learn from. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I would like to read from verses 6 to 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, Jesus says, if you should lose your life along with it? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful Sunday this morning. Thank you for opportunity that we could come into your house once again. Lord, even as the sun is shining outside, may the sun shine in our hearts this morning. Oh God, help us, Father, to lay aside every weight, to push out and resist the enemy this morning, and that, Father, we may stand in your presence and hear your word, that it may transform us, Lord, and make us to stand in the light. We ask this for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated this morning, saints. Again, I'm back here with these things on Paul the Apostle, and we have just read one other thing that he was ministering to, writing in a letter to Timothy. Timothy was, in a sense, Paul's son in the gospel, and he was giving him instruction and telling him certain things that are very important for the ministry. He didn't write many letters to Timothy. It was just two letters that he wrote. So I can imagine that in the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, he put very important things in there. Like if you had a chance today and your daughter was going to university to some city far away from home, you want to give your child some instructions. And you would be sure to tell your daughter the very important things. As a mother, you would sit down and tell your daughter about the very important things. You wouldn't sit down and tell your daughter about, now when you go there, child, make sure you cook rice and eat a good meal every day, you know. It's important, but it doesn't take the level of importance of some of the things. Like to say, be careful there, child. When you go there, be careful of men who use sweet words and try to lure you into things. Because these are the important things. You've got only so much time for the attention of that child before it wanders off.
Yes, sir.
So you give that child important things. And that's what we've been trying to look at in the book of Timothy, where Paul wrote a letter, a personal letter to Timothy, to tell him the things that were very important for the ministry of the gospel. Paul was an apostle to us Gentiles, and he had been through so many things, and he saw Jesus Christ. I mean, angels came and ministered to Paul, just like they did to Brother Branham. So you would imagine that the things that Paul wrote were very, very important. In fact, you don't need to imagine that, because the prophet, even in our day, he said, I preached what Paul preached. His ministry was anchored in what Paul preached. And when he said that to the saints that were beyond the curtain of time, all those saints answered and said, we are resting on that. And I would like that to be the theme of your life during these Sunday school lessons where we speak about Paul. That when I say I preached what Paul preached, you must also answer and say, we are resting on that.
Amen.
So I'm going to preach what Paul preached this morning.
Amen.
And I hope that you are resting on that.
Amen.
Some of it is good and wonderful, and the whole church can say amen.
Amen.
But some of it will come to your door, you know. And when it steps on you, you better say, I'm resting on that. But we won't get to that part today. Today we will speak about where Paul was writing one other thing that is important to Timothy. And he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
Paul was writing these things because they were important. From his perspective, Paul, when he was a Pharisee, he was not a light man in the church. This was a man who could carry out the orders of the whole church.
Amen.
When the high priest would tell him to go and do this and that, it was Paul that went to do that. He would go around with letters to go and persecute the people that the church considered to be heretics. So this was not a light man that you could push over. In a sense, he was a rich young ruler because he had a very high position in the church. And if he had continued in the Pharisees' religion, I believe Paul would have become the next high priest. And that's not a light thing to be. But Paul had to give up all the comforts that come with this and lay it aside so that he could know Jesus Christ. He says that in another place, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 8, if you have it there, sister, I will quote a number of scriptures this morning. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
Amen.
So by the time he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul was a man of substance. He had quite a few things that he can now count those things to say, I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul could have taken up some important job or something, but to look after himself, he became a tent maker, just making tents and things like that, so that he could get by. And he came to the summation of this verse here and says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Yeah. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we are going to take nothing. You know, so we spend all our lives trying to gather things. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing with going to work and looking after your family, make sure they have no lack and no need. Some of us who are from Africa, we have a double-edged sword of responsibilities, because not only you have to look after your family here, you've got family waiting for you in Africa, you know. And if you don't send them some money, they are going to suffer. So it's a good thing that we look after them, but there is a certain level of looking for money that it becomes a hindrance to your spiritual life. And that's where Paul was coming here. That godliness with contentment, you've got to come to a place where you are content with the things that God has given you. If God has made you a farmer, be content being a farmer. If God has given you a job over there as an optometrist, because there's no one here, you know, be content with that. And there's nothing wrong with having a bit of ambition to improve yourself. I mean, being a very ambitious person myself, you know, I like to push my envelope a little bit. But there's a certain level of doing it that it becomes a snare to your life. He says it here, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. You don't know what it is like to handle some of the things that the people out there have. I've read stories of people that won the lotto. Overnight, they are rich. Millions and millions. And they think that our lives will never be the same. But 6 months down the line, they are wishing that they never won it, because of the temptations and the snares that these things can bring you. There's a very good reason why God has given us enough just to get by. Because he knows that it can bend your character. And that's the only thing you're going to carry out of this world. You can get your character bent in a way that it would take only the grace of God to fix that. The love of money is the root of all evil, he says, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Who is Paul talking about here? Because Paul had had experience of certain believers in his life that went after money. You know, they had been good believers, good ministers. They worked together to preach the gospel. But because of the love of money, they loved money to a certain extent that they were willing to compromise on certain things. And that's the fine line that Paul says, I suffered the loss of all things, because he saw that for me to have these kind of things and then be an apostle to the Gentiles, it is not compatible. There's no way I can serve Christ fully when I'm taking a job that requires me to be at work every Sunday. You've got to make a fine line between that sense. I mean, what kind of a testimony are you going to give? To come here and say, the Lord has given me a job, and that job takes you away from church every Sunday. I mean, is that acceptable? In which gospel is that acceptable? That every Sunday you send a request to say, I'm at work, saints, pray for me. I mean, I will not pray for you. I'll pray that you lose that job. Because there's so many other jobs that you could take that will allow you to come to church on a Sunday and be with the saints. He says, we will look at that one next week. Forsake not the assembling of the saints, you know. But because of the love of money, I mean, is it the only job? And it's not only Sunday, because we can all say amen to Sunday. But what about Friday? Friday evening. How many people work on Friday evening? But the church is hardly 10 people on Friday. The preacher and his family, the deacons and their families, and the musicians and the ones controlling things at the back. My, the love of money can become a snare to you if you are not careful. Paul says, of which many, while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith. Which people is Paul talking about? We find them in the Bible again. I'll bring you to that scripture. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he greatly withstood our words. So Paul mentions two people here in this portion of scripture. This is the last closing section of his letter to Timothy. And he is saying, Demas has forsaken me. Now, Demas was a minister in the days of Paul. He used to preach the gospel with Paul. But there was something about Demas. He loved money a bit, you know. He just wanted to make a little bit more money than what was necessary to go by day. And so he left Paul and forsook the man. And went. He didn't leave and go and become an atheist or something like that. No, he went and continued to preach. He's one of the guys that were preaching things that were contrary, because this guy loved to be very prosperous. And he left, having loved this present world, he went and preached and went into prosperity gospel. But that was a snare to Demas. And he suffered many temptations and snares because of the love of money. It can start as a small thing to compromise, and you'll be surprised where you get 5 years after that. You are not doing anybody any favor by compromising. You are not doing your family back home that you send money any favor by compromising. Because the Bible says you are the light of the world. If you are not there, it means there will be darkness. Amen. So you being the light and you're compromising, you see how much darkness you're bringing to the people around you. It's no use to anybody to be compromising with the word of God. And now in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. This Alexander, he even says, beware of him. Because Alexander should have known better. Alexander, if you trace his history, was a minister too. And he was a Jew. He knew about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you go to the book of Acts chapter 19, you will see the story of Alexander there, where Paul was in Ephesus. And because of the ministry of Paul, Paul was preaching to the people, telling them about Jesus Christ. So what happened? The people of Ephesus used to worship their goddess called Diana, Diana of the Ephesians. And the people in that city used to make statues of Diana. So it was a great commercial thing. People were making money because of this thing. Yeah? The people that went and get the silver, dig the copper and what, they bring it to the silversmiths, they make the shrines of Diana and they carve and what, make a statue of Diana and sell it, people would buy. It wasn't enough, you know, to have just one statue of Diana in your house. You needed one for each room, one for the garden, another one, you know, everywhere. So it was a great commercial thing. But because Paul came and began to preach about Jesus Christ, people stopped buying the statues of Diana. And it affected the coppersmiths and the silversmiths, of which Alexander was one of them. And the people began a riot when they seen that we are losing business, we are losing money. They were not interested about this, the lives of the people. All they were interested in was making money. And they caused a great riot in the city of Ephesians, until they all gathered in the place. But what is interesting in this story is that the people that were rioting didn't exactly know why they were rioting. You know? They were confused until Alexander the coppersmith was brought forth. Being a Jew, he knew better than to worship idols, being a minister. But he came, and the Bible says he beckoned with a sign. And that sign was the sign of Diana of the Ephesians. And it made the people to begin to chant Diana of the Ephesians for 2 hours, the Bible says. We can't even sing one song here for 10 minutes. These people were chanting about Diana because Alexander brought them together. No wonder you hear Paul saying, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. The people, because they had such love of money, they became like a beast. That's what people become. The love of money can become so uncontrolled, you are a beast of a person. And we've got to be careful of that sense. If we are going here to say, I preached what Paul preached, then let us live like Paul lived. I'll read you 2 verses here. Philippians 4 verse 9. Philippians 4 verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's what Paul preached. He's telling the people, the things that I've preached to you, the things you have seen me doing, you do the same thing. That's what Paul did. And this is the same Paul who said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, so that he can know Jesus Christ. He counted all things but loss. Yea, he even called it dung. It was unprofitable to him. And let's read another verse. 1 Corinthians verse 9, chapter 9, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 9, 14. Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Let's go. But I have used none of these things. This is Paul. Which ministers can say that today? Yeah? He was saying that the Bible in the law of Moses says that you shall not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. When the ox is doing the work, don't close its mouth. Let it eat some of the corn. That is the law of Moses. Yeah? And Paul was saying, was God caring about the cow, or was he talking about us ministers? No, he was referring to the ministers, that they that preach the gospel should live off the gospel by the tithings and the offerings that we pay. But Paul never used none of those things. What kind of a man was this man? He was a man like our prophet was. When they came to him with a check and say, here is $1 million by the FBI's hand. You take it. Thank you for praying for my son or something. He took the check. Yeah? $1 million. And he said, but none of these things. And put it there. $1 million in those days was not like $1 million in our days. But Paul said, I have used none of those things. And that's what Brother Branham did, exactly. He never took those things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. He says, I'm not writing to you now about these things so you can begin to send me your money. Next verse, sister. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Let's go. For I do these things willingly, I have a reward. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, I'm looking for a certain verse there. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. I think I must have misquoted a certain verse there, but that is fine. If you can go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9. When I was present with you and wanted, this is when he needed something, some money, or some things to buy food, I was chargeable to no man. That's not what the gospel we hear from the prosperity gospel these days. Yeah? For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. Paul the apostle. And this is the same gospel which Brother Branham preached. And when he said, I preached what Paul preached, the saints said, we are resting on that. They also lived their lives like that. They didn't entangle themselves with the things of this world. I would like to read just one more verse, and then, where is that? No, I think maybe I didn't quote it, saints. My apologies there, but anyhow. Okay, well, I must have skipped it somewhere. Well, for some reason, we can't find it. But this is Paul. This is the message of Paul. He said that godliness with contentment is great gain. And the world has flipped that around today. People want to have different things and this and that, which is not wrong. But at the cost of your life, it is not worth it. Because you suffer so many things that you never thought you would. With all these riches that come to us, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful yet again this morning for your grace and your mercies. Father, even as we come to the main service, we pray your grace upon us that you help us, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that come to show us these little things, Lord, that, Father, they might be little in words, but Father, when we take them and leave them out in our lives, this is the very foundation, Lord, of a Christian life. Help us, Father, to be content with the things that you have given us. And if you open more grounds for us, Lord, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. But, Father, we pray that you help us to guard our souls from the things, Lord, that can easily snare us, Lord, and take us away from the gospel. For we have seen already the many people that have made shipwreck in their lives by going after these things. The love of money, Lord. Oh, God, be merciful and help us that, Father, we may put our attention on the right thing. May we bless your name, Lord, and we thank you for this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you, saints. We will talk again next week, Sunday. God willing.